pouring down my cheeks. I don't even know why I'm crying. Maybe it's because, until this moment, I had no idea what it felt like to be valued, what it felt like to be respected. Until this moment, I had no idea what it felt like to be cared for. No one should have to experience a life never feeling truly cared for, not even by the parents who created them. Yet I've lived that for 21 years now. Until this moment.
16. Carter. I close my eyes and continue to hold her while she quietly cries against my chest. I hold her until dusk turns into dark and what was left of the light is engulfed by a blanket of stars. I hold her until I hear a car about to turn onto the street. I glance up, but they turn and go in the opposite direction. She remains pressed against my shirt, but the thought of Asa or even Dalton seeing me with her right now is at the forefront of my mind. I shouldn't be here comforting her. It can only cause more problems for her. Because she's right. I can't save her. As much as I want to, we're both stuck. I can't risk ruining something that is so much bigger than just the two of us. I can't sacrifice what it is I'm here to do for the sake of helping her leave. That's something she'll have to do on her own and when she's financially able. And every moment I hold her, every time I grab her hand, every time I sit next to her in class, every time I put her in more and more of these harmless situations, I'm pushing her closer and closer to the edge of a cliff. If I don't figure out how to back away from her, I'll end up watching her fall. I release my hold from around her and pull back, but she remains clutched to my shirt. I grab her hands and pull them away from me. She lifts her head and looks up at me, her eyes as red and swollen as I suddenly wish her lips were. Stop thinking like this, Luke. I stand up and she grabs at my shirt to pull me back, confusion rampant in her eyes. Let go, I whisper. Her hands fall to her lap and she breaks our stare. She pulls her feet up onto the bench and hugs her knees, crying into her arms. Walking away from her is about to take all the strength I have. You're right, Sloan, I say as I back away from her. I can't save you. I turn around and begin walking back to my car, each step harder than the last. I don't turn around when I open the door. I climb inside the car and drive to her house without once looking back. When I walk through the front door, I can tell by the state of the living room and the noise from the backyard that this is going to be a long night. I make my way through the house and to the backyard. There are several people scattered around. No one even looks up when I walk outside. There are four girls in the pool putting on a spectacle. Two of them have the other two perched up on their shoulders and they're trying to knock each other off into the water. John and Dalton are standing beside the pool, beers in hand, cheering for whomever they've bet on. Asa is sitting at the side of the pool with his feet dangling in the water. He isn't staring at the girls. He's staring straight at me, eyes hard and suspicious. I nod in his direction, acting oblivious to the look in his eye. Dalton sees me and says, Carter! He rushes around the pool, unsteady on his feet. He's laughing the whole time, spilling half his beer. When he reaches me, he wraps his arm around me and leans in. Don't worry, I'm not as fucked up as I look, he says. Did you get anything out of Sloan? I pull back and eye him. How did you know I was with Sloan? He chuckles. I didn't, but good job, he says, squeezing my shoulder. You work fast. I think she knows more than we think she does. I shake my head. I don't think she knows shit, I tell him. Focusing on her will be a waste of our time. I glance over Dalton's shoulder and see Asa staring at us. He pulls his feet out of the water and stands up. He's coming over here, I say. Dalton raises an eyebrow and then backs away, raising his beer in the air. He grins and spins around. $100 says I can stay underwater longer than any of you fucks. John immediately takes him up on the bet. They throw their beers aside and dive into the pool. Asa walks toward me and then straight past me as he makes his way into the house, never once making eye contact with me. I don't know what unnerves me more, the fact that I'm suspicious of every move he makes, or the fact that he seems suspicious of me.
17. Sloan. It took me half an hour after Carter walked away to finally regain my composure enough to pack my things and walk back home. It's been 10 minutes since I reached the edge of my dark driveway. I've been staring at the pavement, following the winding path with my eyes. It would be so easy to keep walking. There's nothing in that house I want, nothing I even need. I could keep walking along the pavement until I'm too far to turn back. I wish it were as easy as it sounds, but once again, it's not just about me. And no one but me is going to be able to change any of this. Carter can't save me. Asa sure as hell isn't going to save me. I just need to continue saving my money until I have enough to make it on my own and bring my brother with me. I take a step onto the grass, toward the house. But I hesitate. It's the last place I want to be right now. I want to be back at the park, back on the bench, back in Carter's arms. I want that feeling again, but I'm ashamed to admit I want more than that, too. I want to know what it feels like to be kissed by someone who respects me. Just having that thought makes me feel incredibly guilty. To my knowledge, Asa is faithful to me. He provides for me. He takes care of my brother financially, a responsibility that isn't even his. He does this because he loves me and he knows I want to see my brother happy. I can't discredit that. It's more than anyone else has done for me in my entire life. I throw my backpack of completed homework in Asa's car and walk through the front door. I just keep walking until I get to the kitchen. I'll do like I do every night and take something to eat and drink up to my room. I'll stay there alone and try to sleep amidst the sound of music and laughter and sometimes the occasional muffled screams. I'll fall asleep and hope that Asa gives me at least 4 good hours before he wakes me up again. I set the timer on the microwave and fill my cup with ice. I shut the freezer and go to open the refrigerator door when the familiar handwriting on the dry erase board catches my eye. My breath hitches when I read it. Worries flow from her lips like the random words that flow from her fingertips. I reach out and try to catch them, clenching them in my fists, wanting nothing more than to catch them all. I look at his words, clearly written out in the open for anyone to see, but I know they're meant only for me. It's obvious he played the game wrong. He actually thought about what he was going to say before he wrote it this time. It makes me smile. Cheater. I erase the words, but not before imprinting them on my mind. I pick up the marker and press it to the dry erase board.
18. Asa. My hands are wet from sweat. The air conditioner is broken again, and it's too hot to go outside. I run my sweaty palm along the leather arm of the couch, leaving a streak of sweat behind the path of my hand. I wonder where sweat comes from. I wonder where leather comes from. My mother told me it's made from cows, but I know she's a liar, so I don't believe her. How could leather be made out of cows? I've touched a cow before, and they're sort of fuzzy. They don't look like leather to me. Leather looks more like it's made from dinosaurs than cows. I bet leather really is made out of dinosaurs. I don't know why my mother always lies to me. She lies to Daddy, too. I know she lies to him because she gets in trouble for it a lot. Daddy always tells me not to trust whores. I don't know what a whore is, but I know it's something my daddy hates. Sometimes when he gets mad at my mom, he calls her a whore. Maybe a whore is another word for liar, and that's why he hates them so much. I wish my mother wasn't a whore. I wish she would stop lying so she wouldn't get in trouble so much. I don't like watching her get in trouble. Daddy says it's good for me, though. He says if I want to grow up and be a man, I need to see what a woman looks like when she cries. Daddy says a woman's tears make men weak. And the more I see their tears when I'm younger, the less I'll believe their lies when I'm older. Sometimes, when he punishes my mother for being a whore, he makes me watch her cry, so that I'll grow up knowing that all the whores cry, and it shouldn't bother me. Don't trust anyone, Asa, he always tells me, especially the whores.
I grasp the leather strap tethered around my arm and pull it tighter, then slap at my skin. I realize now that leather isn't made from dinosaurs. My mother wasn't lying about that, at least. I don't remember a lot about the fight in their bedroom that night. The yelling had become a daily occurrence, so it wasn't new to me. What was so different about that night was the silence. The house had never been so quiet. I remember lying in bed, listening to myself breathe, because it was the only noise in the entire house. I hated the quiet. I hate the quiet. No one found out what he did to her for a few days. They found her body wrapped in a bloody sheet, shoved under the house and half covered in dirt. I know this because I snuck outside and watched them pull her out from under the house. After the cops arrested my father, I was shipped to my aunt's house, where I lived until I ran away at 14. I know he's in prison somewhere, but I've never looked for him. I haven't seen or heard from him since that night. I guess you shouldn't trust the men who marry the whores either. I press the tip of the needle into my arm and apply a little pressure. Once it pierces my skin, I draw the process out as long as possible. The initial insertion and sting is the best part for me. I push my thumb down, feeling the warm burn move from the point of insertion down to my wrist and straight up through to my shoulder. I slide the needle out and drop it to the floor, then untie the strap of leather, letting it fall as well. I curl my arm up to my chest and hold it with my other hand while I lean my head back against the wall. I close my eyes and smile to myself, relieved I didn't end up with a whore like my mother. Thinking Sloane was with another guy today made it crystal clear why my father hated whores. I don't think I truly understood him until that moment, when I felt the hatred for Sloane that he felt for my mother. I'm so relieved Sloane isn't a whore. I let my arm fall limp to the mattress. Fuck, this feels so good. I hear Sloane's footsteps ascending the stairs. She'll be pissed that I'm doing this in our bedroom. She thinks I simply sell the shit, that I don't actually sample it. After what she put me through today already, she better not say a damn word about this when she walks into this bedroom. Fuck. So good.
19. Carter. She returned home about 10 minutes ago. I saw the lights turn on in the kitchen. I'm sitting by the pool with John, Dalton, and some guy named Kevin. They're engrossed in a live poker tournament, watching it on a laptop that Kevin has propped up on the table. Apparently, they've somehow got a stake in it. I'm aware that Dalton is mentally taking notes, following the conversation like it's a ping-pong match. I let him. My mind is too exhausted from this day to keep up, and I can't stop worrying about where Asa disappeared to and what Sloane is doing right now. My gaze is fixated on the house. I watch the windows as she moves around the kitchen, making herself something to eat. Once it looks like she disappears upstairs, I use the opportunity to take a breather. I need to regroup, place my focus back on the conversation around me. I just need a few minutes alone in order to do that. Some people recharge by having the energy of other people around them. I am not one of those people. I read once that the difference between an extrovert and an introvert isn't how you act in a group setting, it's whether or not those group settings give you fuel or drain you. An introvert can outwardly appear to others to be an extrovert and vice versa, but it all comes down to how those interactions influence you internally. I am definitely an introvert because people drain me, and now I need silence to refuel. You want a beer? I ask Dalton. He shakes his head, so I stand up and head inside to the kitchen. I don't even want a beer. I just want silence. How Sloane lives with this on a day-to-day basis and still functions is unbelievable. I walk through the back door, and the first thing I notice when I get to the kitchen is the new message scripted across the dry erase board. I take a step closer and read it. He unclenched his fists and dropped her worries, unable to catch them for her. But she picked them back up and dusted them off. She wants to be able to hold them herself now. I read it over and over until the bedroom door upstairs slams and breaks me out of my trance. I take a step away from the fridge just as Sloane rounds the corner into the kitchen. She stops suddenly when she sees me. She pulls her hands quickly up to her face and wipes at the tears. I see her glance at her words on the refrigerator, then back at me. We both stand silently, just 2 feet apart, staring at each other. Her eyes are wide, and I watch as her chest heaves up and down with each breath she takes. 3 seconds. 5 seconds. 10 seconds. I lose count of how much time passes while we both just watch each other, neither of us knowing what to do about the invisible rope between us, tugging and pulling us together with strength so much stronger than our willpower. She sniffles and then rests her hands on her hips as her eyes fall to the floor.
I hate him, Carter, she whispers.
I can tell by the hurt in her voice that something happened when she went upstairs. I look up at the ceiling toward their bedroom, wondering what it could have been. When I look back at her, she's staring at me.
He's passed out, she says. He's using again.
I shouldn't feel relieved that he's passed out, but I am. Again? She takes a couple of steps toward me and then rests her back against the countertop, folding her arms together. She wipes at another tear. She inhales a breath, and I can tell it's hard for her to talk about. I walk over to her and stand next to her.
He gets paranoid, she says. He starts to think he's about to get caught and the pressure gets to be too much for him. He thinks I don't notice these things, but I do. And then he starts using, and when that happens, things turn bad for all of us.
I'm warring with myself right now. Part of me wants to comfort her. Part of me wants to selfishly push her for more information. All of us? She nods.
Me, John, the guys who work for him.
She nudges her head in my direction.
You?
She says that last word with a dose of bitterness. Her top teeth press into her bottom lip and she looks in the other direction. I continue to stare at her. Her hands are twisting into the sleeves of her shirt as she hugs herself tighter and tighter. She isn't crying anymore. She's angry now, and I'm not sure if she's angry at me or Asa. I look back at the words on the board. He unclenched his fists and dropped her worries, unable to catch them for her. But she picked them back up and dusted them off. She wants to be able to hold them herself now. Rereading those words and watching her right now gives me clarity. All this time I've been worried for her, concerned that she was being brainwashed and had no idea what kind of person Asa is. I was wrong about you, I tell her. She looks at me again, this time her lips are pressed together, her eyebrows drawn together in curiosity. I thought you needed protection, I clarify. I thought maybe you were naive when it came to Asa, but you aren't. You know him better than anyone. I thought he was using you, but you're the one using him. Her jaw tightens with those words and she grits her teeth.
I'm using him?
I nod. Her curiosity turns into anger as she narrows her eyes.
I was wrong about you, too, she says. I thought you were different, but you're a bastard, just like the rest of them.
She turns to walk away, but I grab her elbow and pull her back. She gasps when I spin her around and grip her forearms. I'm not finished, I tell her. Her eyes are full of shock now. I loosen my grip on her arms, rubbing my thumbs back and forth to hopefully put her anger a little more at ease. Do you love him? I ask her. She inhales slowly, but doesn't respond. No, I say, answering for her. You don't. You probably used to, but the only thing love relies on for survival is respect, and you don't get that from him. She remains silent as she waits for me to get my point across. You don't love him. You're still here, not because you're too weak to leave, but because you're too strong to leave. You put up with this shit because you know it's not about you. It's not about your own safety. You do it for your brother. Everything you do for other people. Not many people have that kind of courage and strength, Sloane. It's fucking inspiring. Her lips part and she sucks in a soft rush of air. Based on her reaction, I'd say she's not used to being complimented. And that's sad. I'm sorry I said those things to you at the restaurant, I tell her. You aren't weak. You aren't Asa's doormat. You're... A tear trickles out of her left eye and trails down her cheek. I lift my hand and press it to her cheek, letting the tear fall against my thumb. I don't wipe it away. If anything, I want to bottle it up and save it. This is probably the first tear she's ever cried as the result of a compliment rather than an insult. I'm... what? She asks, her voice soft and hopeful. She's looking up at me, wanting, needing me to finish my sentence. My eyes drop to her mouth and my chest constricts at the thought of what her lips would feel like sliding against mine. I swallow hard and finish saying the words I know she needs to hear. You're one of the strongest people I've ever met, I whisper. You are everything Asa doesn't deserve. And everything I want, I think. She sighs softly, and we're so close I can feel her breath on my lips, so close I can already taste her. I run my hand through her hair to pull her toward me, but the second our lips almost meet, the back door to the kitchen begins to open. We both separate, facing opposite directions. We immediately try to cover up what almost just happened. I open the refrigerator just as John walks into the kitchen. I look away from him, but not before seeing the knowing look he shoots me. The suspicion. Shit. I hear Sloane open a cabinet behind me. I reach inside the refrigerator. Want a beer? I ask John, holding it out toward him. He takes two deliberately slow steps toward me, eyeing me hard, and takes the beer from my hand. He glances behind me at Sloane as he twists off the cap. What did I just interrupt? I wait to see if Sloane wants to answer, but she doesn't. There's just a long stretch of silence. I grab another beer out of the fridge and then close the door, glancing in Sloane's direction. Her back is to both of us as she pours herself a glass of water from the sink. I could act like John is overreacting. I could feign innocence. But John would know better. I know what it looked like when he walked in here, both of us turning in opposite directions, separating, looking guilty. John doesn't know me. For all he knows, I'm just like him. Making him think I'm not worried about repercussions would probably gain me more respect from him than not. I look back at John and I wink, allowing him to think whatever the hell he wants. I walk confidently outside, and as soon as the door shuts behind me, I press my hand into the wall and let out a huge rush of air. I can feel the pull in every part of me, the blood rushing to my head as my lungs drag in all the breaths Sloane took from me in that kitchen, or took from Luke. Rather, because that was all me just now, pulling her to me, wanting to put my mouth on hers, that had nothing to do with why I'm here. And I got exactly what I deserved for allowing it to happen. John knows he walked in on something and now I have to figure out how to fix that before Asa finds out. Shit just got real.
20. Sloane. My hands are shaking as I take a sip of water. I know John is still in the kitchen, standing somewhere behind me, but I don't want to turn around. He disgusts me almost as much as Asa, and knowing he thinks he saw something between me and Carter gives him a leg up. I know how he works. I'm not stupid. I set the glass down and glance behind me. John is standing against the fridge, staring at the words I wrote. He lifts his hand and traces his index finger around the words on the dry erase board. Then he runs his finger through them, erasing them.
What the fuck does this even mean?
He says, glancing back at me. I face him, full on, folding my arms over my chest. I hate how his eyes scroll down my body. I hate how he looks at me, like I'm the one thing he can't have. Only now that he thinks Carter almost had me, I somehow seem more attainable to him. My heart feels like it slips up my throat. I can feel my pulse beating in my neck as John begins to take a few steps toward me.
Where's Asa?
He asks, his eyes roaming over my breasts rather than my face. In our bedroom, I say, wanting him to know that Asa is right here in the house. I don't mention that he's passed out and probably won't wake up for several hours. It's funny how things work sometimes. I fear Asa more than anyone, but Asa is also my only protection against people in this house. John glances up at the ceiling.
He asleep?
I shake my head. No, I say. I came down to make him something to drink. I can see in his eyes that he knows I'm lying. He knows I'm only trying to protect myself. He takes another step forward until he reaches me. Something changes in his expression. I see the sinister look in his eyes, the hatred, and I open my mouth to scream. I want to yell for Carter to come back inside. I want to yell for Asa to come downstairs, but I can't, because John's hand clamps around my throat, stifling my voice.
You want to know what I'm sick of?
He asks, glaring at me as he squeezes his hand tighter. My eyes are wide, but I'm unable to nod or shake my head. I'm gripping at his hand around my throat as I try to pull it away from me.
I'm sick of Asa getting everything he wants, he says, and not letting me have shit.
I squeeze my eyes shut. Someone will walk in soon. Carter, Dalton, someone will stop this. Just as that thought passes through my mind, the back door opens and relief washes over me. I open my eyes and John spins around, still gripping my throat. My wide eyes meet Kevin's. He pauses in the doorway, staring at us. I barely know him because he's not here at the house much, but I don't care. He's here and John just got busted. He'll be forced to release me.
Get the fuck out of here,
John growls at Kevin. Kevin takes in the scene, John pressed against me, one of his hands gripping my hips, the other around my throat, the fear in my expression. I try to shake my head, to silently beg Kevin not to walk away, but he misreads the situation because he laughs. Or maybe he doesn't misread it. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's just as sick as John. Kevin holds up his hands and says,
"My bad, man,"
and steps back outside. What the fuck? John spins me around and pushes me toward the living room out of the kitchen. I try to scream, but nothing comes out. His hand is still clamped around my throat. The living room is dark and empty, and I try to fight my way out of his grip, but I'm getting weaker by the second with every drop of air he's refusing to let me inhale. I can feel the panic set in, but I force it back down. I can't lose control of myself right now. He pushes me onto the couch, and as soon as he releases his grip around my throat, I drag in gasp after gasp of air, coughing and sputtering until I have enough air in my lungs to scream. But before I'm able to do that, something cold is placed against my throat. Something sharp. Oh, God. I squeeze my eyes shut as soon as John's other hand begins to push my knees apart. I have never felt terror like I feel right now. I've been in dangerous situations before, usually at the hands of Asa, but I've never feared for my life at the hands of Asa. John is different. John would hurt me just to punish Asa. His hand runs up my thigh and settles between my legs. I can feel my legs shaking from the fear that's overtaking my entire body.
Asa thinks everyone else's girls are fair game, but he's the only one who gets a piece of this.
He lowers his mouth to my ear.
He owes me a few favors, Sloan, and I need you to repay one right now.
John, I choke out. Please stop. Please. He brings his mouth to mine.
Say please again,
he whispers. Please, I plead one more time.
I like it when you beg.
His mouth crashes against mine, and I immediately taste bile as it makes its way up my throat. There's nothing gentle about his mouth as his tongue forces its way past my lips. The more I try to fight to free myself, the harder he presses the blade against my throat. Through all the fear and all the struggling, I'm somehow still able to hear the quiet click of a gun. John freezes on top of me, and when I open my eyes, I see the metal tip of a gun pressed against his temple.
Get the fuck away from her,
Carter says. Oh, God. Thank you, Carter. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. John's hand slowly leaves my throat. He presses it against the back of the couch.
You're gonna regret this, he says to Carter.
I look up at Carter, seeing something in his eyes I've never seen before as he stares down at John.
You're wrong, he says, his voice steady. The only thing I'll regret is not shooting you 3 seconds ago.
John swallows and slowly begins to back away from me. Carter never pulls the gun from his head as John pulls himself to a seated position. Carter moves the gun to John's forehead and stares down at him.
Apologize to her.
John doesn't waste a breath.
I'm sorry, he says, his voice shaking.
I pull my legs away from him and scramble off the couch. I back away from the couch, behind Carter. I bring my hand to my throat and rub at it, trying to massage away the pain from John's grip. Carter takes a step away from John, but keeps the gun pointed at him.
I think we both have secrets we'd like to keep from Asa. You didn't see me in the kitchen with Sloane, and I didn't see you forcing yourself on top of her, you agree?
Carter says to him. I don't know how I feel about that, being their bartering tool. But I know if John goes to Asa with his suspicions of what he saw between me and Carter in the kitchen, Asa will hurt Carter. And that's the last thing I want.
John nods. I never saw a thing,
Carter says.
Good. We're on the same page then.
He presses the tip of the gun back to John's forehead, shoving John's head against the back of the couch.
But if you touch Sloane again, I won't even worry about having to inform Asa, because I'll fucking kill you myself.
Carter uses all his force to smash the gun against the side of John's head. John doesn't even have the chance to react. He falls against the arm of the couch, his whole body limp. Out cold, from one blow to his head. I'm staring in shock at John when I feel Carter grip my face. I glance up at him and he's giving me the once-over, checking for injuries.
Are you okay?
He asks. I nod. As soon as I start nodding, the tears start coming. Carter pulls me to him and my whole body starts to shake with sobs. He runs his hand down the back of my head and presses his lips against my ear.
Sloane, I hate to ask you this because the last place I want you to be is with Asa right now, but you're safer up there. Go to your room and don't come out for the rest of the night, okay?
I nod, because I know he's right. Asa is the devil himself sometimes, but at least he would never allow anyone in the house to hurt me. Besides, he's out cold, just like John.
Carter walks me to the base of the stairs. Do you have your cell phone on you?
Yes.
Call me if you need me tonight. Otherwise, I'll see you in the morning,
he says, running a soothing hand over my cheek. I completely forgot about tomorrow. I have school, class with Carter. The thought of being with him at school, away from all this shit, is the only thing I have to look forward to right now. Okay, I say, my voice still shaking from the result of the last half hour. He leans in and kisses me on the forehead, then releases me. John starts to stir on the couch, so Carter nods up the stairs, wanting me out of the room before John wakes up. I turn to walk up the stairs, in shock over how different life inside this house is compared to what it's like outside this house. Normally, when someone gets attacked, it's reported to the police. But inside this house, it's handled internally. It's used as a bargaining tool. And instead of going to the police, I go upstairs to a guy who is 10 times more dangerous than the person who almost raped me. This house doesn't follow the same rules as the outside world. This house is a prison with its own set of rules. And Asa is the warden. Always has been. I just don't think Asa realizes that now that Carter is here, he could easily be overthrown. I hope he never does realize it, because that wouldn't be good for any of us.
21. Asa. My mouth is fucking dry. It tastes like I've been sucking on a goddamn towel all night. I roll over to reach for one of the bottles of water Sloane always keeps by our bed. I can't open my eyes because my whole head feels like it's about to explode, so I feel around the nightstand until I find one. My hands are shaking. I already want another hit. This time I'll be smart about it. I won't do it when I'm so torn up on whiskey I pass out and waste my fucking high like I did last night. I bring the bottle of water to my mouth and down the entire contents in two huge gulps. I toss the empty bottle across the room and fall back onto my pillow. I'm still thirsty. I stretch out my arms and accidentally hit Sloane in the shoulder. I glance over at her, but my head is too groggy to focus. She rustles a little, but she doesn't wake up. I look at the alarm clock and squint. It's 4:30 a.m. She still has 2 hours before she has to get up and get ready for school. I give myself a minute to adjust to the darkness until I can see her really well. Then I roll onto my side and watch her sleep. She sleeps on her back now. Never on her side, never on her stomach. When I was a kid, my dad always slept on his back, even when he'd pass out on the couch from whatever substance he was abusing that day. I asked him why he slept like that once, and he said, "When you're on your back, you're prepared for anything. It's easier to wake up and protect yourself. If you get too comfortable, you're left off guard." It makes me wonder if Sloane sleeps on her back as a protective method. Then it makes me wonder if she sleeps on her back to protect herself from me. No, she doesn't fear me like that. She fucking worships me. She used to sleep on her stomach, though. Maybe I just need to buy a new mattress. Maybe she just doesn't like this bed. She also used to sleep naked, but she hasn't done that in over a year. She claims it's because there are too many people in this house, and she doesn't feel comfortable. It used to bother me when I'd crawl on top of her at night, only to find she was wearing fucking pajamas, and I couldn't slide inside of her until after I got them off of her. After I complained enough, she finally compromised and only sleeps in a t-shirt now. Easier access, but I'd still rather her be naked. I pull the covers down, careful not to wake her. Sometimes I just like to look at her while she sleeps. I like to think she's dreaming about me. Sometimes I touch her, just soft enough not to wake her, but enough to make her moan in her sleep. Her t-shirt is bunched up around her waist. I lift it, slowly, inch by inch, until her breasts are exposed. And then I lean back, reaching under the covers and into my boxers. I grip myself and begin stroking as I watch her sleep. Watch her soft breasts move up and down with each slow breath she inhales. She's so fucking beautiful. All that long, dark hair. Those lashes. That mouth. I've honestly never seen another girl as beautiful as her in real life. I knew she'd be mine the first time I laid eyes on her. I couldn't allow something this perfect to be with anyone else. But I wouldn't allow myself to pursue her right away, because I liked the way she looked at me. I could see the innocence in her eyes as she would stare at me in class. I made her curious. And even though I pretended not to notice her, she made me curious. I could tell she was different from any girl I'd ever been with. Nothing scares me, not since I was a kid. But the way I obsessed over the thought of her came pretty damn close to scary. The thought of being able to corrupt something that sweet made me think about her more than anything else in my life. Before Sloane, I wasn't the type of guy who loved girls. Not in the traditional sense, anyway. I used them for what the majority of them are good for. A quick late-night fuck. Sometimes a pre-breakfast fuck. But never anything after 8 a.m. or before 8 p.m. Guys who allow girls in their life between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. have shit for brains. That's a direct quote from my father. I used to remind myself of this every time I'd look at Sloane, before she was mine. Every time I'd catch her staring at me in class. Every time my dick would jerk in my pants when I thought about her. Shit for brains. The more I observed her, the more I started to question my father, and whether or not he even knew what the hell he was talking about when I was younger. He probably never experienced a girl like Sloane. A girl who had yet to be corrupted by another man. A girl who was too timid to know how to flirt with a guy. A girl who hadn't had the chance to become a whore yet. I told myself I'd test her out. See if she was the exception to the rule. I caught up with her after class one day and asked her if she wanted to go to lunch. It was the first time I'd ever asked a girl on a date, come to think of it. I expected her to smile and shyly agree, but instead she looked me over, turned away, and kept walking. That's when I realized I was wrong about her. She wasn't shy. She wasn't unfamiliar with how cruel people could be. She knew exactly how cruel the world was, and that's why she kept her distance from everyone. Little did she know, her fake disinterest made me want her even more. It made me want to pursue her until she wanted every part of me, even the cruelty. It made me want her to beg for it. It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. It's amazing how far good looks and humor can get you. And manners. Who knew? You hold a fucking door open for a girl, she automatically thinks you're a gentleman. She thinks you're the type of guy who would treat his mother like a queen. Girls see guys with manners and think there's no way they could be dangerous. I held every fucking door open for Sloane that I could find. I even held an umbrella for her once. That was a long time ago, though. That was back when she used to sleep on her stomach. Naked. Sometimes I wonder if she's not as happy as she used to be. She left me once, and I fucking hated it. Every second she was gone, I felt like I had turned into every single thing my father feared I'd grow up to be. A lovesick fool. Shit for brains. But I do love her. Fuck him and his idiotic bullshit philosophies on love. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and when she left me, I knew that. I knew if she left for good, she'd eventually find someone else. I couldn't bear the thought of another man's mouth on hers. His hands on her. His fucking disgusting dick inside of her, when she'd only ever had me there. She was mine. And I did what I needed to do to get her back. Even if she doesn't realize it had anything to do with me. I did it for her benefit. Because I love her. And I know she loves me. When she came back to me and asked for my help, it was the proudest I've ever been of myself. Because I knew at that point it was a done deal. She was mine forever. But there's still that one tiny flaw in our relationship that makes me question the permanence of it. She refuses to accept my lifestyle. Always makes me promise her I'll get out someday. We both know that'll never happen, though. I'm good at what I do. But I guess maybe I need to prove to her that I can do both. Be what she needs without it compromising my lifestyle. I need to ensure she never goes anywhere. I need to make her a part of my life permanently. I could marry her. I could buy her a house. One where just the two of us lived. Of course, I'd be in this house between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., since I seem to be the only one who knows how to properly operate things around here. But Sloane could be at the home we would share together, growing babies. When I came home at night, she could feed me. We'd make love. I'd sleep with her by my side. And she'd sleep on her stomach. I've never thought about marriage before. I wonder why this brilliant idea is just now coming to me. She's never brought up marriage, though. I'm not even sure she'd agree to it. But if she got pregnant, she wouldn't have a choice. Unfortunately, she uses birth control with more routine than I get my dick sucked. Not that her birth control isn't something I couldn't tamper with. But on top of that, she also forces me to use a goddamn condom every time I have sex with her. But condoms are something else I could tamper with. I wonder what it would feel like to be inside her without a condom. She's let me inside of her for a few seconds before, just to prep her before putting on the condom. But I've never finished inside of her. Her warm pussy squeezing tight around my dick while I release into her, feeling every single sensation without a barrier. I groan at the thought of it and start pumping my fist faster. Fuck, this feels good. Watching her, thinking about being inside of her. I need to touch her. I lean forward, bringing my mouth to her exposed breast. I normally try not to wake her, but it won't be the first time she wakes up to me jacking off on her. I slide my tongue against her nipple and tease her, circling it slowly. She stretches her arm out across the pillow and moans. I like that she's still asleep. I like to see how close I can get her to an orgasm before waking her up. I wrap my lips around her nipple and suck gently. It instantly hardens inside my mouth. "Mmm," she moans again, her sleepy voice breathless.
"Carter."
My jaw clenches with her fucking nipple still in my mouth. What the fucking fuck did she just say? I immediately pull away, letting her nipple pop out of my mouth. I look down at her fucking face and release my grip on my dick. It just went limp at the sound of that name passing her lips. What the fuck? What the fuck? My chest hurts. It feels like someone just crushed it, dropped a brick on it. Dropped a whole fucking building on it. Somewhere between moaning his name and regaining consciousness, Sloane pulled her shirt down over her tits. Somewhere between her moaning his name and regaining consciousness, I wrapped my hand around her throat. She's staring at me. Her eyes are wide with fear. I'm sure it's a scary thing to wake up to your boyfriend's hand around your throat, but she should be lucky she's not feeling what I'm feeling right now. Are you fucking him? It takes all the effort I have not to scream those words at her. Instead, my voice is calm and collected, unlike every other part of me. I'm not squeezing her throat with any significant force. Yet. I simply have my hand around it, so she should be answering me right now. She's able to speak, but she's not. The fucking whore is just staring at me like she just got caught. Sloane, are you fucking Carter? Has he been inside you? Sloane immediately begins to shake her head. She presses her palms into the mattress and pushes herself up against the headboard. My hand doesn't leave her throat.
What are you talking about? She says. No, of course not. God, no.
She's looking at me like I'm crazy. She's very convincing. My mother was convincing, too. Look where that landed her. I tighten my grip, watching her face as it slowly turns a shade pinker. She winces and fists the sheet at her sides. Her eyes begin to fill with tears. Good thing my father taught me not to let a woman's tears fool me. I lean in toward her until I'm a mere 2 inches from her. I scroll over her eyes, her mouth, every fucking lying part of her goddamn face. You just said his name, Sloane. I had your fucking nipple in my mouth, trying to please you, but then you whispered his fucking name. You said, Carter. Sloane shakes her head. She's so adamant about it, shaking it with such intensity, I ease my grip around her throat so she can speak. After inhaling a gasp of air, she blurts out,
I didn't say Carter, you fucking dipshit. I said harder. I was awake and could feel you kissing me. I wanted you to do it harder.
I stare at her. I let her words sink in. I let her explanation massage the ache in my chest until I can breathe again. I slowly slide my hand away from her throat, down her neck. Fuck. I'm being paranoid. Why would I ever think she'd dream about another guy when she sleeps next to me? She wouldn't cheat on me. She can't. She has no one else. It would be the worst mistake she ever made, and she knows it. I need to get her out of this house. Away from all these people. I'm more certain now than I was 10 minutes ago that I need to make her a mother. Make her a wife. Give her a place of our own where other men are never around to make me this fucking paranoid. Sloane leans forward and reaches to the hem of her shirt, pulling it over her head. She tosses it on the floor and then pushes me back against the headboard, sliding onto my lap. And just like that, I'm hard again. She presses her breast against my mouth and offers herself to me. I take her nipple in my mouth again, and I give her what she wants. I suck her harder. So hard it hurts her. I want her to feel the ache my mouth left on her for the rest of the fucking day. She wraps her hands in my hair, pulling me against her as she moans and says my name. She says, Asa. She says it 3 times. My name. I grab her hips and lift her slightly until she's positioned right over my dick. I bring her back down until I'm buried inside her, almost certain I've never been this deep. God, she feels good. It feels so good when I don't hate her. I didn't like how it felt to hate her. You're mine, Sloane, I say, dragging my lips up her neck and to her mouth. She whispers, Yours, Asa. I slide my tongue in her mouth until she moans, and then I pull away from her. I grip her throat again with my right hand and guide her hips up and down with my left. She winces a little when I squeeze her throat, and it makes me wonder if I hurt her neck earlier. I move my hand and can already see a handprint. There's even a little bruising. Fuck, I did. I hurt her a lot more than I intended to. I lean in and kiss her softly on the neck, giving her a silent apology. Then I look into her eyes as she rides me. I want to marry you, Sloane. I want to make you mine forever. She doesn't say anything right away. Her whole body stiffens, and she stops moving against me.
What?
She asks, her voice shaky. Fuck. Did I just propose? Surprisingly, that thought doesn't fill me with dread. I grin and rub my hands down her back, gripping her ass. I said, marry me, baby. Be my wife. I lift her off me and push her onto her back. I slide back inside of her, relishing the fact that I don't have on a condom. I move in and out, savoring every sensation while she stares up at me, speechless. I'll buy you a ring while you're at school today. The biggest one I can find. I just need you to say yes first. A tear falls out of her eye, and that's when I know for sure that she loves me. The thought of spending forever with me just made her cry. God, I love this girl. I speak between thrusts, staring straight down at her tear-filled eyes. I love you, Sloane. So fucking much. I need to hear you say yes. I groan, feeling how close I am to finishing. Finishing inside her.
experiencing something with her that we've never experienced together before. I kiss the side of her head and then lower my mouth to her ear. I need to hear you say yes, baby. She finally releases a quiet yes. That word makes me so goddamn happy. It only takes one more thrust for me to come. And I release inside her. Inside my fiancé. I hear her gasp as I'm finishing, but that's the only noise she makes. Seconds pass as I'm trembling above her, but she's quiet. Probably from the shock of what just happened. She hasn't moved or spoken because she wasn't expecting a proposal. Especially in the middle of the night. Or the morning. I have no fucking idea what time it is. I kiss her, then roll onto my side, sliding my fingers through hers. I smile, thinking about what just happened between us. And then I close my eyes so I can fall asleep next to my fiancé. My naked fiancé, who's going to start sleeping on her fucking stomach. I honestly never thought this day would come, but this might be the happiest moment of my life. Fuck my father and his bullshit philosophies on love.
22. Carter. I'm telling you again, I don't want her involved. Dalton, Ryan, clenches his fists and leans back in the chair, frustrated with me. She's already involved, Luke. You're not putting her in danger. She lived there before we ever got involved. He leans forward again. This wasn't an issue in the last job. Remember Carrie? I remember Carrie. Carrie was your project, not mine. I've never gotten involved with a girl for the sake of an assignment, Ryan. He cocks an eyebrow. But you'll get involved with one while you're on a job, just not for the job? You'll allow your feelings for her to put us both in danger? I push my chair back and stand up. I'm not putting us in danger. Nothing is going on. I don't know how many times I have to repeat that. I hate that he's right, but I'll never admit that to him. I face the one-way mirror of the interrogation room and stare at myself. I look tired. I run a hand through my hair and close my eyes. Do you really believe that whatever is going on with her is innocent? That it isn't putting us at risk in some way? Ryan says. Did you not attack John, Asa's best friend, because he was kissing Sloane last night? I find his reflection in the mirror and I eye him hard. Kissing her? I spin around and face him. He was about to rape her, Ryan. What do you want me to do, walk back outside and double down on the fucking poker game? I face the mirror again and watch him. He knows he would have done the same thing if he had walked in on that. It's fitting that we're doing this inside an interrogation room at a nearby precinct because this case review is starting to feel just like an interrogation. We're both quiet for a while. I run my hands down my face and sigh. How is leading this girl to believe I have feelings for her going to help this case? Ryan shrugs. I don't know. It might not help, but it's worth a shot. Especially since you already seem to have some sort of friendship with her that she values. Her guard would be down around you. She might tell you things in confidence that we don't already know. He stands up and walks around the table and leans against it. Technically, he's my superior. I have to remind myself of that sometimes with the way we have to interact and with as many undercover jobs as we've done together. He's been doing this about 5 years longer than I have, and I know he knows what he's talking about, as much as I don't want to admit it. I'm not asking you to fall in love with the chick. I'm not even asking you to pretend you love her. All I'm asking is that you take advantage of her feelings for you, for the sake of this investigation. And how do I do that? I ask. Asa is always around. It would be more dangerous for us to get her involved. There are ways, Ryan says. You have class with her today. Start there. I know she goes to visit her brother on Sundays. Go with her this Sunday. I laugh. Yeah, I'm sure Asa would be absolutely fine with that. He won't know. He mentioned something to John about us all going to the casino Sunday. We'll be gone all day. Just pretend you have something else to do and offer to go with Sloane instead. You'll get a full day with her, uninterrupted and unmonitored by anyone who knows him. I know I should tell him no, but the truth of the matter is I'd offer to go with Sloan whether it helped the case or hurt it. That's how pathetic I've become at my work lately. Nothing should come before the job, especially someone on the other side of the job. Fine, I say. I grab my jacket and pull it on. Before I open the door to exit, I pause. I slowly turn and face him. How did you know I have class with her? Ryan grins. She's the hottie from Spanish, Luke. I'm not an idiot. He grabs his own jacket and pulls it on. Why the fuck do you think you were signed up for that class?
23. Sloan. I'm still shaking when I walk into the building. It's been hours since the incident with Asa, but I'm still sick over it. I've never been that scared. Not even last night when John was on top of me with a knife to my throat. I can't believe I said Carter's name out loud while I slept. Not only could I have gotten myself in a serious situation with Asa, I could have been responsible for whatever Asa would have done to Carter. I don't know how I recovered from that one as well as I did, and thank fuck Carter's name rhymes with harder. But one thing I'm not relieved about is what happened afterward. The things Asa said to me, him bringing marriage into it, him not using a condom. I don't know what Asa does when I'm not around. I've never been told he cheats on me other than what John said last night, but I don't even know what he meant by that. I've also never caught him cheating, but I don't trust him enough to put my health and my life at risk. But that happened this morning, and it's at the forefront of my mind. The second it turned 8 a.m., I called my doctor and made an appointment for next week to be tested. I'm on the pill, and I take it religiously, so I'm not at all worried about him getting me pregnant. But I am worried about everything else he could give me. I'll try not to think about it until next week, and I'll do whatever I can to make sure that doesn't happen again. I was just honestly too scared for my life to say anything this morning. I've never seen him look at me with so much hatred